Now I've just got a couple of verses I want to read tonight. The first is in Mark's Gospel in chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. It says, "And Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were his sheep, not a mere shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." Just a couple of verses in John's Gospel, chapter 10. John chapter 10, and just at the end of verse number 3, it says concerning the Lord Jesus that he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It says in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." And that's all we're going to read tonight from the Bible. And again, we're sure that God will add a blessing to the reading of these words. The little verse that we read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, is a verse that is very challenging. It's a verse that comes as a tremendous challenge to my heart as a believer in the Lord Jesus. And as I was just reading this verse this morning, I noticed that some time ago, I had written beside it these words, "Lord, give me eyes like yours. Lord, give me a heart like yours." You see, in that little verse, we read about the eyes of Christ. We read about the heart of Christ. It says that when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion, because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. What about you as a Christian thing? How do you see the multitudes? The people that throng the streets of our villages and our towns and our cities, how do we see them? Do we really see them through the eyes of the Lord Jesus? Do we really see men and women and young people just as sheep without a shepherd? And do we feel for them the way that Christ felt for them? Are we really moved with compassion? What a difference our witness and testimony would be as Christians if we really had the eyes of Christ and the heart of Christ. Just to see men and women and not to criticize them, not to condemn them because of their lifestyle or their behavior, but to love them and to have compassion towards them, because they're just sheep without a shepherd. And the very heart of Christ was moved as he saw the multitude before him. The heart of the Lord Jesus is moved in him as he looks down from his throne in heaven and he sees the multitudes in New Cumnock and Cumnock and all the surrounding districts, because he sees men and women the same way as he saw them 2,000 years ago. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd. And he's got compassion. My friend, I want to tell you tonight that Christ's got compassion for you. Christ loves you. Christ cares for you. Maybe over the course of your life you've experienced much criticism, much condemnation, and much judgment. But the Lord Jesus, as he looks into your life tonight, he doesn't want to criticize you. He doesn't want to condemn you. He just wants you to know that he loves you. And all your loneliness, and all your wanderings, and all your sinfulness, and all your selfishness, the Lord Jesus wants you to know tonight that he doesn't condemn you. He has compassion, and he loves you, because he sees you as he saw these men and women, just as sheep without a shepherd. You see, there are many things that are true of sheep, that are true of you and I. I suppose one of the things that we would think about when we think of the sheep is the fact that it's one of these animals that just likes to wander. We see that oftentimes, don't we? We just need to go down the road beyond Sanker and up into the Lead Hills and into that wee road and you'll find the sheep are just wandering everywhere. It's something that comes natural to them. It's something they've just done from almost from the very moment they were born. And we see it even today as we go through the country lanes and the little lambs have got away from their mother and they've slipped through the hedges and through the fences and there they are just wandering. It's inbred. It's an instinct that's within their makeup. They just wander. As the Lord Jesus looked on men and women, he saw them just as poor, lost, wandering sheep. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, he says, all we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. The psalmist tells us in Psalm number 55 that we go astray from the very moment that we're born. There's just some instinct, some inbred propensity in every one of our hearts to wander, to go astray. To go astray from God, to wander from God. To turn our backs upon God and just to go our own way. And that really just sums up men and women today, doesn't it? And if you're honest, that just sums up your life. You see, we were made by God. We were made for God. And that's an amazing truth that, oh, if it would just sink into our hearts tonight, that the very reason for our being, the reason for our existence, is to enjoy fellowship with God. But the minute that we were born, there was that within us that took us away from God. Rather than drawing us to Him, there was that that took us away from Him. There was that that caused us to wander in the paths of our own choice. And to wander further and further and further from God. My friend, the thing that's within our hearts that causes us to wander from God is sin. I know it's not a very popular subject. I know it's never discussed in the Houses of Parliament. And I know it's probably never discussed across in Hollywood. And sadly, it's not even discussed in many pulpits. But that's the basic problem of the human race tonight. That's the basic problem of your heart. You're a sinner, and sin brings a propensity to go our own way and to wander from God. Just like the sheep. And of course, as the sheep wanders away from the shepherd's care and the shepherd's love and the shepherd's protection, then it gets to a stage where it is just helplessly and hopelessly lost. That's you tonight. That's how God sees you. That's how the Lord Jesus sees you. That's why He's moved with compassion, because He sees you as a lost sheep. Just wandering aimlessly. Looking for a purpose in life. Looking for a meaning in life. Looking for reality. Looking for fulfillment. Just wandering and grasping at this, that and the next thing. And never finding what you're looking for. Is that you tonight? You see, one of the reasons the sheep might wander is because the grass just looks a little greener on the other side of the fence. And the water in the little stream across the road just seems to be a little bit brighter, a little bit clearer, and it sees something and it goes after it. Always looking for something more, something better, and never finding it. That's life, isn't it? That just sums up the experience of men and women and young people today, always looking for something and never finding it, grasping at straws. And all the time getting further and further away from God and deeper into sin and deeper into the misery of life's experiences. Lost. Terrible thing to be lost, isn't it? You see, you don't need to be alone to be lost. I remember being in the city of Stockholm on one occasion in Sweden, and I remember I was amongst a multitude of people as they were all thronging backwards and forwards, and I stood there and I was lost. That feeling of lostness almost overwhelmed me. and the feeling of loneliness, and the feeling of desperation, lost in the crowd. Maybe you feel like that tonight. That's just your life. And although you're surrounded by friends and family and acquaintances, but you just feel in yourself that you're lost. And that feeling of lostness and isolation and loneliness almost overwhelms you. And you're just longing for, the reason for life. You're asking yourself the question, well, why am I here and where am I going and what is life all about? Is there more to life than this? My friend, if you don't know Christ as your Saviour, I want to tell you, I don't care your experience right now, there's more to life than what you've got right now. Because Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There's fullness of life in the Lord Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you've never drunk of that fountain of life in Christ, then it doesn't matter your present experience. There's more to life than what you have now. And the Lord Jesus saw the multitude and he was moved because they were just like sheep without a shepherd. Lost. There's another thing about a sheep. A sheep is defenseless. A sheep doesn't have any inbred means of defending itself against the enemy. That's why they need a shepherd. That's why they need sheepfold. So that they can be protected from the enemy, because they can't protect themselves. They don't have any means of protection. They're not like the hedgehog that can roll up in the little ball and the spikes come out, and any animal that tries to sniff around it, well, it gets the sharp edge of them. Sheep don't have claws. One of the type of teeth that could devour an enemy. They're defenseless. And they're exposed to all sorts of enemies as they wander in the fields and in the hills. Does that not just describe men and women? My friend, this life, this world is not a playground. This world is a battleground. Maybe you think it is a playground. Maybe you think that life is one just great big merry-go-round of fun and leisure and pleasure and everything's great. My friend, life is not like that. Life's a battleground, and my friend, there's a battle going on day by day for your soul. And we're preaching about God tonight, and we're preaching about the Lord Jesus, the one that longs to be your shepherd, that longs to draw you close to himself, that he might protect you and preserve you and feed you and nourish you and be everything to you. But my friend, the Bible tells us not only about the Saviour, the Bible tells us about Satan. The Bible tells us about the devil. And the Bible would tell us about his demon hordes. Multi-thousands of them. My friend, in this world tonight, there's a great spiritual battle taking place. It's a battle over your soul and your soul's destiny for eternity. It's a battle for your life. My friend, every minute that you live, the old enemy's in your track. Satan's in your track, moment by moment, day by day. He won't let you go. Wants to devour you. Wants to destroy you. Wants to damn you in hell. My friend, that's where Satan's destined for. Satan's destined for the lake of fire. That's his end. It's absolutely sure and certain. There's nothing can change it. Satan is destined for the eternal burnings of the lake of fire. But Satan's desire is to take as many millions of the human race down there as he can. He wants to take you there tonight. My friend, you and yourself are defenseless against them. You think of the times when you're trying to resist temptations. You thought you were strong enough. You thought you could kick your habits and you thought you could change your life. You thought you would never be tempted again with another drug or another drink. There it was, just put before you, and you put the bait, and you've a hook again. My friend, that's Satan, isn't it? life in ourselves, we've got no defence. We're just like pawns in his game. We're just like puppets at the end of his string. And Satan, my friend, wants to use you and he wants to abuse you. And he wants to drag you down to a lost eternity to separate you from God forever. That's the battleground. My friend, life is not a game. Because that old enemy's after you moment by moment. And we've mentioned the nights gone past that one of his names in the book of the Revelation is Abaddon or Apollon, the destroyer. That's what he does. You know, that's what many of the enemies of the sheep would do. The wolves, they would just take them and they would just destroy them. They would just rip them apart. That's what Satan does to the lives of men and women. He rips them apart and leaves them. But even Luke's Gospel chapter 10 about a man on the Jericho road, a man that had turned his back on the city of God, Jerusalem, and he's gone down to the city of the curse, the city of Jericho, and suddenly he's ambushed by a crowd of robbers. And they took from him everything of value. They just left him. They just left him half dead at the side of the road. That's just a picture of men and women, isn't it? That's how Satan gets into people's lives. He just takes from them everything that's of value and leaves them. I remember sitting in a home in Darvel years ago with this young woman, and she sat and broke her heart. She said, "I've lost everything." She'd lost her marriage. She'd lost her kids. She'd lost her house. She had lost her self-respect. She says, "I can't even walk up and down the street." She says, "Everybody's talking about me." She had lost everything. Why? Because the enemy had devoured her and destroyed her completely. And yet, you know, when he comes so enticingly, and so appealingly, and so attractively. He draws people into his clutches. There's a chap here tonight, and I remember him giving his testimony, and he said that for X number of years he danced with the devil, and when the devil had the last dance, he just left him in the dark. You see, as long as he was dancing with the devil, everything was great, having a great time, filling himself with the world's pleasure, and then the devil left him. Ruined, miserable, lost. Oh my friend, the Lord Jesus looks down tonight and he sees men and women as sheep without a shepherd, and he's moved with compassion. Is there any wonder that the heart of the Lord Jesus tonight breaks as he looks at the lives of men and women and young people that have been battered and bruised by Satan and torn apart? Praise God, the Lord Jesus is the one that has defeated the devil. And really, Calvary wasn't just an execution ground, it was a battleground as well. And the greatest battle that the world has ever seen took place at Calvary, and the world didn't see it because the whole area was shrouded in darkness. The whole world was shrouded in darkness. And the Lord Jesus Christ entered into combat with the enemy. And the Lord Jesus Christ went out to that cross. This is what he said to those men that came to capture him. He says, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." What was man's hour? It was the moment when mankind would show the depths of their depravity, the depth of their hostility against God, the depth of their hatred against God's Son. It was the hour when men would show exactly what was in their heart. When they would take an innocent man and they would crucify him on a cross of shame. But my friend, it wasn't only man's error, it was the error for the power of darkness. And there's one of the Psalms that says that they would write prophetically concerning the cross that the very pains of hell got hold of me. And there on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, he entered into combat with all the forces, all the powers of darkness. All that Satan could rustle up came and went into conflict against the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ cried, "Finished," on that cross. Praise God, it wasn't him that was finished. It wasn't Christ that was finished. My friend, the battle was finished. The battle was over. The victory was won. Satan had been defeated. The mortal blow had been, the fatal blow had been struck to his head. Christ was triumphant. And he bowed his head in his own breast and dismissed his spirit. He says, I have power to lay down my life. I have the power to take it up again. And the Lord Jesus, in the conscious knowledge that Satan was defeated on the cross, he laid down his life in death. And 3 days later, God raised him triumphantly from the dead because he's a mighty victor. And he sits enthroned in glory tonight. And he's waiting for that glorious moment when he'll take that old enemy for the last time and he'll plunge him into the everlasting burning. What a day for Christ. My friend, that day is absolutely certain because Satan is a defeated enemy. But my friend, he's still going about as a roaring lion. He's still seeking whom he will devour. He still wants to get his claws deeper and deeper into the lives of men and women. He wants to tear them apart. And the Lord Jesus looks at me, a sheep without a shepherd, wandering, lost. And he sees them. He sees them just exposed to all the attacks of the enemy. And he longs to be their shepherd. He longs to protect them. He longs to draw them to himself that he might take care of them. Oh, my friend, the Lord Jesus loves you very much. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to find safety and salvation. Will you come to him tonight? What would you rather be associated with? A winner or a loser? Whose side would you rather be on tonight? The side of a loser or a winner? Because Satan ultimately is a loser. And Christ, my friend, right now is the glorious victor. He's the winner. And those that have taken sides with the Lord Jesus are not just in the winning side, but on the side that's already won. That's the certainty of all. My friend, as you sit in this meeting tonight, you're either under the domination of the enemy and exposed to all his wiles and all his subtleties and all his attacks. And my friends, you've been delivered from that power, delivered from the power of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of the Son of God. Lord, where are you then? Are you still under the power of darkness? Are you still like a lost, wandering, defenseless sheep? And I wonder if you turn to the Lord Jesus and cry to him for his grace and for his mercy. Have you heard his voice? Have you heard his voice? Because that's what we read in John chapter 10, and we'll need to look at that tomorrow night, I think. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he says, my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. Follow me, they go after me. Oh, my friend, have you heard the voice of Christ? As he calls, as he appeals. He wants to draw you away from the enemy tonight. He wants to draw you away from the world. He wants to draw you away from your sin. He wants you to draw him to himself. He says, I am come that you might have life and have it in all its fullness. Lord Jesus doesn't want to see you just wandering aimlessly and purposeless through life. He wants to give a reason for your life. He wants to give reality. He wants to give a purpose. He wants to put meaning into that life of yours. To give it direction. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants, my friend, to take you from that place where you're exposed to the attack of the enemy, and he wants to protect you. He wants to put his arms around you to make you his own. And to guarantee that he'll take care of you. That he'll be your shepherd day by day and moment by moment. The Lord Jesus saw the multitude of sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion. One of the other things about a sheep is it can't retrace its steps. Once it's lost, it's lost. You know, it doesn't have the homing instinct like the pigeon. You know, you can take a pigeon away to wherever it is. They take them away in France for the big race, and they can let them all go, and they all circle round a few times, and then they disappear. They all head for home. How they do it, God alone knows, because that really puts the end to all the arguments about evolution, doesn't it? Crazy. Who put the homing instinct in the pigeon? The Creator, God. But you know, the sheep doesn't have that. And once the sheep wanders, you know, it can't sort of look around for landmarks and pick its steps back. Once it's lost, it's lost. It needs somebody to go after it. It needs somebody to search for it. It needs the shepherd to go out and to search until he finds it, to bring it back to the fold. That's just like you as a sinner tonight. You're not only lost, but you're helplessly lost, you're hopelessly lost. But praise God, the Good Shepherd has come out to seek and to save those that were lost. And the Bible tells us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, about a man that had 100 sheep and one was lost. One was lost, only one. One in 100. But I want to tell you that one was precious. That one was precious. But my friend, I want to tell you, you're 1 in 50. I mean, I don't know how many is here tonight, but I want to tell you, you're precious to Christ. Every one of us is precious. And it says that he went out until he found it. He searched and searched and searched until he found it. He didn't care the distance he had to go. He didn't care the energy he needed to expend. He didn't care the pain that he would suffer. He would go and go and go until he found it. What a picture of the blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, that gave his life for the sheep. You see, in order that you might be saved, in order that you might become one of his own, the Lord Jesus Christ went as far as he needed to go. He went right into the depths of Calvary's suffering. And exposed himself to the wrath and judgment of God against their sin, as well as the attack of the enemy. And my friend, he went into Calvary and right into death itself, in order that you might be saved, in order that I might be saved. Oh my friend, the Good Shepherd that gave his life for the sheep, that went as far as he needed to go, right to Calvary, to save a poor sinner like you. Because you see, left to ourselves, left to our own resources, we would never get back to God. You see, we'll never get back to God by our religion. We'll never get back to God with all the philosophies of the world. We'll never get back to God even by coming to meetings. We'll only get back to God by trusting in the Saviour and recognising that when he died on the cross, he was dying for our sins. The Bible says there's one God, and there's one mediator, there's one go-between, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life on the cross as a ransom for the many. He paid the price that you and I might be saved, that you and I might be restored into relationship with God. Oh my friend, we're appealing to you tonight to trust in the Saviour, to turn to Christ tonight. He's your only hope. One of the sad things about a sheep is it never seems to be aware when it's in danger. You folks that have been up the Lead Hills, Warnock Head Road, you know that. And you just get round the corner and there it's there, just right in the middle of the street, the road, just diving around, unaware of the danger. How many times would the shepherd, when he goes to look for the sheep, he'll go to the cliff tops because he knows that they're prone just to fall over, unaware of danger. The Lord Jesus looks at men and women as sheep without a shepherd. He's moved with compassion. He sees them wandering. He sees them defenseless. He sees them unable to get back to him and their own strength and their own resources. And he sees them exposed to danger. You see, what danger am I exposed to tonight? I'll tell you what danger I'm exposed to. My friend, you might just be a heartbeat from hell tonight. Just a heartbeat from hell. The Bible says, don't boast of tomorrow, because we don't know what another day will bring forth. My friend, we don't even know what another minute will bring forth. What is our life? Our life is just like a vapour, says James, that appears and disappears. It's just like a weaver's shuttle. My friend, you're in danger. And your sins, you're lost, you're perishing. And if you die without the Saviour, without coming to know Jesus as your shepherd, then you'll be lost forever. You'll plunge, the minute you close your eyes in death, you'll plunge into a lost eternity. That's the danger that you're in. It's little wonder the Lord Jesus looked in the multitude and he was moved with compassion. His heart was breaking because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. My friend, don't criticise me if my sermons are not very eloquent. Don't criticise me if I can't put it over in a sort of fluent way. My friend, I want to tell you, within this breast of mine, within this chest of mine, there's a heart that beats for you, a heart that loves you. I look into the faces tonight of those that are lost, those that are perishing in their sins, and their only hope is Christ. My friend, if you die without my blessings, then you'll be lost forever. You'll be lost. That's why I try to be straight with you. That's why I don't play around with words. My friend, the business is too serious for that. There's coming a day when I'm going to be held accountable for these meetings. I'm going to be held accountable before God for how I've preached and what I've said and how I've said it. And my friend, I want to tell you, I'm accountable to warn you. God's account to warn you that you might just be a heartbeat away from Him. You're in danger. But praise God, there's salvation in Christ. It's just a step away. It's only a step away, just a simple step of faith. My friend, you can become His thing. The Lord Jesus Christ says concerning those that belong to Him, He says, if no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. And He says, my Father is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father is one. What glorious security we have in Christ. Saved and saved forever in His hand. And that's what He wants. That's what He offers you. My friend, you can just come as you just appreciate that you're just a wandering lost sheep. And there's a shepherd that stretches out His hands. He came from heaven to seek you. He came to heaven, my faith. He came from heaven to die for you on the cross. And His arms are outstretched and He was waiting for you to come. Put your faith and trust in Him for time and for all eternity. Amen. Amen. Oh, Jesus, God and Father, we just commit again to Thee the preaching of the Word. We just ask that You would take away everything that was not of Thyself. All of God that has just been of the flesh, Lord, just remove it. But that of God that has been of Thy Spirit, drive it right home, of God, to the hearts of those that are still unsaved. Cause them, of God, just to see themselves as Thou just see them, just lost. Just a sheep without a shepherd. Give them, of God, that longing to Him, just to be saved. That longing of God just to find refuge and to find salvation and peace and joy and reality in Christ. We thank You, God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for that one that was willing to come for a distance He came, of God. Not just from heaven to this earth, but from the stable of God in Bethlehem, right to the cross at Calvary. To enter, of God, into that awful cauldron of sufferings. Into that furnace of affliction, of God. He went into, oh God, that awful darkness at the cross to pay the price of our salvation, that He might call out of the world a people for Himself, and He's doing that to Him. We thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, could say, Him that comes to Me, I will never turn them aside, I'll never cast them out. We thank You, God, that He'll receive and He'll make His will in everyone that comes in simple faith to Him, even tonight. Oh God, take glory to Thy name, honor Thy Son tonight, and the salvation of souls we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Now we'll just take time just to sing a verse of a hymn just to close the meeting orderly. Hymn number 268. We'll just sing the first and third verses maybe, just remaining seated. I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod, Lord, I'm coming home. Verse 3 says, I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home, I'll trust Thy love, believe Thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. If you don't mean the words, don't sing them. There's no point in singing lies, is there? Making yourself more accountable to God than we've been in the past. If you don't really mean the words, don't sing them. But if you really mean these words, and you're conscious that you're tired of sin and strain, Lord, then you sing the words and you pray them, and you come to the Lord Jesus, and He'll cleanse you, and He'll forgive you tonight. So remaining seated, the first and third verses of 268.